The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 16th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Boy, it's a beautiful day here in Sonoma County, and I'm really excited about today's show. Joining me on the phone, this is my second interview with her, will be Diana Carpenter-Madoshi. For over 20 years, Diana Carpenter-Madoshi has been focused on women's issues and is currently organizing the Silent Centennials happening October 5th, along with her amazing contribution to women. This is the second interview about the event, and I thought it was important to talk about it once again and encourage women to get involved. We will also be discussing the recent debate between former President Donald Trump and Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. Diana and I talked on the phone and believe this vote is more important than any election because it's not just a vote for a person, it's actually a vote for our democracy, and we really have to be and pay attention. You know, it was amazing watching the event. And what I experienced was a young woman, Kamala Harris, that was prepared, articulate, and ready to answer questions that were submitted to her. I have to be honest, watching the former President Trump give his opinions, and they were opinions because I don't believe he answered any questions. I felt a sense of embarrassment for both him and our country. I would encourage my listeners, if you have not listened to the debate, to go on YouTube and listen to it. It is an eye-opener. And what was so interesting, what happened after the debate, I think about 10 minutes after the debate, it came out that Taylor Swift made a statement. And, you know, it was very, very interesting. I copied the statement, and I looked at it, and I read it. And what I really believe that Taylor Swift did, which I thought was very amazing, she let young people know that she was voting for Kamala Harris. And she made a point, the reason that she wanted to be transparent and let her listeners and her followers know because of some sort of phony ad the Trump campaign put on that said she was supporting Trump, and she wanted to know she wanted her fans and her followers to know the truth. And another thing that she said was really interesting. She was not telling her followers to vote for her. She was saying who she voted for. She was encouraging them to go she said she did all her research, and that's how she made her decision. And she was encouraging all her fans and followers to also do research before they actually make their vote. And another thing that was interesting too is she encouraged people to register. You know, how important that your vote does count. And this is very important for young people because there are many, many young people that are coming of age now that are able to vote. And here she is encouraging them to do research, go on, you know, find out what each candidate is saying, pay attention to the issues that are at hand. And when you make a vote, make it out of an intelligent decision after you've done your research, which I thought was amazing. And another thing that was so shocking to me, I listened to a program called I've Had It on YouTube. Amazing. I mean, it's a fun show. And they were talking about Taylor Swift and how J.D. Vance and our former president are putting her down. You know, all she's doing is encouraging people to vote and to do the right thing. Yes, of course, because she said she voted for Kamala Harris. That's going to influence people. But I have friends who are telling me that they're going to vote for Trump. I mean, I have to make my own decision, just like you have to make your decision. So I think it's very important that we understand that and that we recognize that our vote counts. Our vote counts. And get ourselves educated. You know, one of the things about Northern California here, especially Sonoma County, we have a very strong organization called the League of Women Voters. They are so active. Every election, I am just amazed the energy that they put into the elections to explain to us the pros and cons of all the initiatives they're on. And there are some very important initiatives on the ballot this year. And so they kind of explain it. They don't make an opinion. They don't take a side. They just let you know the facts of what each side is saying. So I really want to encourage you to look on, to go to their website. It's www.lwv.org/LWV Sonoma County. And also just to remind you that this will be on our website, www.womenspaces.com. There's also a phone number that you can call, 707-546-5943. That's 707-546-5943. And they will answer any questions. They will guide you to when their program's on. But I really encourage people to get themselves educated. It's really, really important. And especially in our county, I mean, we are so lucky that we have this group that's doing what they're doing. So that's a lot to cover this morning, a lot to think about. And, you know, during this election, we really have to think about things. And, you know, I want to read you something because I want people to get an idea of what this whole idea is that Diana Madoshi is promoting, this silent centennial. This happened there in 1910. The Women's Party picketed the White House for 2.5 years, from February 1917 to June 1919, to visibly advocate for women's suffrage. Led by Alice Paul and Lucy Byrne, some 2,000 women employed silence as a protest tactic and bore signs calling on President Wilson to support suffrage and shaming him for his hypocrisy. Their tactics were disliked by many, including more conservative suffrage organizations who feared they would turn public opinion against them. But as you see, it did not turn public opinion against them because we got the vote. But it's so important. These women went to jail. They were waterboarded. They were threatened, you know, when they did this big, big march and this young woman was on a white horse. They threw glass at her, at the suffragists that were marching. I mean, it was amazing that these women stood up and got the vote for us. And to remember, we only got the vote by one vote. That's because a mother sent an email. Excuse me, no, there weren't email. A telegram at that time. I mean, that's when they operated on telegrams. I mean, that was a very modern thing that we could communicate so quickly. But a mother sent a note to her son, said, "You must vote for the ladies," and that's what broke the vote. That's what got us the vote. One vote. So, you know, there was not it wasn't a popular or an overwhelming experience for these representatives. We got it only by one vote, and we're lucky, and we've been struggling ever since then to keep the vote. And then when we finally got the right to choose for our own over our own bodies, now they're trying to take that away from them. So it's very important that we pay attention to what's going on and we listen to what Diana Carpenter Madoshi has to say and participate on October 5th. But we'll get into that when we have the interview. As you could tell, I'm a little bit jacked up because I'm a little bit frustrated when I hear some of the things, especially this stuff around in Philadelphia, around people eating cats, you know, and dogs and all that. Or is it for Philadelphia or Ohio, Ken? I forgot which one it was. That they're saying
Ohio.
It's Ohio, and I'm really shocked that people believe it. No matter how many times the media even comes out and says, "Hey, these people that were there, there's no reports of that actually happening," and also that all these Haitians that are in Ohio in this particular city county are actually legal citizens. So, you know, some of them are on green cards. You know, I mean, it's just so confusing and so many lies going on that you really have to pay attention to who you're listening to. Well, as we do every single Monday, we do our History is Our Strength. Why do I do that? It's so important that we understand the shoulders that we are standing on. You know, I went to Sonoma State in 1973 at the height of the women's studies, and I saw what it was like for women to try to get a voice. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing standing up for ourselves. They came up with our out with our bodies ourselves, so we could understand more about our physiology. It was an amazing time. And to think that right now in 2024 that women are losing ground, that's why it's so important that this election we stand up and let our voice be known and participate. You know, one of the things that they're recommending is we look at the number 50. And that number is, that's how many people we talk to, our friends, we talk to our family, we make sure people are registered to vote. We make sure that people participate in our democracy. I'm going to take a swig of water here. Boy, my throat gets so dry lately. I guess it must be the weather. But we really have to pay attention to what's going on, because women, our children's lives are on the line. You know, and also to come to an end to all these wars. I mean, why are we warring? I mean, it's such a waste of energy. And it's so, it seems to me like it's so ego, so egotistical. And when I listened to these two candidates debating, I mean, if that's what you want to call it, I thought to myself, I had to keep my fingers crossed, because I don't know, I'm not 100% clear where each one stands. So we have to stand up against war. Very, very, very important. Well, here we go with our history is our strength. And this is one of my favorite things to announce. Today is the 16th, and this happened on September 20th, 1973. And it was such a big deal when Billie Jean King defeats Bobby No One Can Beat Me Rigged in the Battle of the Sex Tennis Matches. That was in September 20th, 1973. And I remember that day like it was yesterday. It was an amazing, because Title VI had just given women, young women, the opportunity to play sports on any level. I mean, that was an amazing thing. And here comes Billie Jean King, a woman, and defeats this guy. I can't believe it. He says, "No broad, can you believe this? No broad can beat me." It reminds me of, I mean, we were called broads then. I mean, come on, give me a break. But anyway, Billie Jean King is still alive, and I just want to do a great shout out for her. Now, another thing happened that was very interesting, and that was actually, it's her birthday today on September 16th. She was born in 1913, and she made her transition in 1995. And this was, her name was Florence Greenberg, and she was the founder of Sceptor, S-C-E-P-T-O-R, Records. And they were the first, she was one of the first women who was introducing successful rock and roll and soul records in the 50s all the way to the early 70s. And she had a label called Wand Records, and she promoted people like Diana Warwick in the mid-1960s. Now, why am I making such a big deal about this? Because it was a big deal for women to get into record producing. It was an unknown. It was a male-dominated field, and here comes this woman, especially with rock and roll. So I wish I would have known her. That must have been very, very interesting. And then happy birthday on September 20th. She was born in 1899 and made her transition in 1979, and that's Anna Strauss, League of Women Voters, national president from 1944 to 1950. And like I announced in our announcements, we have a wonderful, wonderful League of Women Voters that are doing all kinds of informational seminars to inform people about all the different initiatives that are on the ballot this year. And there's a lot of them. You know, I'm leaning towards, you know, I start looking at them and I don't quite understand it, but the League always makes it very clear for me. So I feel Ken and I, when we sit down at our kitchen table, because we do vote by mail, we sit and we discuss, we have all the information from the League, and it's very helpful. And like I say, they don't take a side. They just give you the facts. And I had a phone number for them there. It's a long email to get to them, so I thought the phone number would be the best. So that's 707-546-5943. But I just want to let you know that there is going to be a presentation on Monday, September 23rd at 11:30 a.m. via Zoom. And again, you can find all that information on the League of Women Voters Sonoma County website. Okay, that's a lot to digest, and I'm ready to go on to the next part of our show. We're going to take a musical break. And the song that I'm going to play, it's an old hymn. It's called "Hold On, Keep Your Eye on the Prize," and it's sang by Barbara Dannon and Lightning Hopkins. Oh, it's amazing, amazing. And the reason I think this is so important, this song, is because we have to keep our eye on the prize. And the prize is freedom, freedom of choice. The prize is getting peace on earth, on this planet. That's what the prize is. So hold on, keep your eye on the prize, and keep working towards peace. It's very, very, very important. Anyway, let's go ahead, and then when we return, we were going to be talking to Diane Carpenter-Manoshi. She will be talking about the Silent Centennial event across the nation on October the 5th. So let's go ahead, Ken, and let's get Diana on the phone. Yes, we are holding on with trust and faith that the price is going to be democracy and freedom is in its place. Well, for you folks just joining, I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And joining me on the phone is Diana Carpenter-Manoshi. Welcome, Diana. Welcome to Women's Spaces. This is our second interview. I feel I'm really getting to know you.
Well, thank you very much for having me again.
Well,
I enjoy our conversation.
Well, this is so exciting. You know, when I think about it, I got a whole little list on what was happening with the Silent Centennials in the 1900s, which was amazing to me. So I just very excited about talking about this once again and also getting your opinions on some of the things that are happening. So is it okay if I tell our folks just a little bit about you?
Sure.
Diana Carpenter-Manoshi holds a Bachelor of Science in Nursing from Sacramento State University and retired after over 30 years in her field. For more than 20 years, she has volunteered as an event coordinator for nonprofits focusing on women's issues. She's deeply passionate about women's suffrage history. Diana is inspired by undervalued community leaders and her mentor, Carol Noberg. Together, they co-chaired Women's Equality a day parade celebrating the fight for women's voting rights. Diana co-founded and co-chaired the 2011 California Women's Suffrage Centennial Committee, organizing statewide events and Women's History Month program. An advocate, she serves on nonprofits like the League of Women Voters and inspires her family to contribute to future generations. Wow, what a resume, and that's only one-tenth of it. Is there anything that you would like to add, Diana?
No, I've had to cut back on some of it, but I'm still to allow me to be very active in ongoing movements and other organizations as it relates to our democracy.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because, Diana, you do have a long history of being involved in the women's movement with a passion for knowing women's history. Talk about this moment in women's history and what is both motivating you and inspiring at you at this time.
Well, what has been motivating me is as I've learned more about the lives of women who've come before me, and what they have brought, and what they have brought to our rights, what they have brought to our history, and upon their shoulders, we are beneficiaries of what they have done. The lives of women like Fannie Lou Hamer, as one of the founders of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, who in 1964. She became a national voice for integration and voting rights. This woman was beaten, threatened, forced to flee her home, shot at, and repeatedly arrested for her activism simply because she desired the right to vote. And I love her quote that she has said repeatedly, "Nobody's free until everybody's free." And some of the people are exhausted with this election going on. And her other quote, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. So that's why I'm out there working to protect our rights."
Well, you know, talking about Fannie Lou Hamer, I remember I saw a clip. I mean, YouTube is amazing because you get so much history. And I've heard of her, but I never heard her until I heard this. And she had she was speaking, I believe, in front of Congress. And she had just been arrested a while back and was beaten. And I remember looking at, she just looked so like she had gone through so much stress, but yet her voice and her passion for freedom and for rights was so inspiring to me. So I'm glad that you brought her up. You know, I think it's very, very important. And here we are in 2024. Women are losing control over their bodies. You know, and how do you believe, I mean, what do you believe is going on? And what do you believe that women, what type of stand do you believe women should be taking at this time? And we've also had the conversation about some of these women journalists that have the airways, that this feels like they're against women instead of for women. You know, what is your thought on that?
Okay, let's break it down. First of all, this election is very serious because our rights are on the line. The things we have gained. One of the things that I feel, and there are a number of reasons, is that sometimes people gain their rights and they take everything for granted as if this will stay. And history has taught us that you have to be vigilant. Women who won the right to vote, too many women have not voted in the process and not paid attention. When you don't pay attention to the political climate of what's going on, all of a sudden things that you had thought the rights that you had, and what we're experiencing now through the various voting suppression laws that are working through our state, is because we were not paying attention and we had not honored our right to vote. The fact that over 100 million people in our country do not vote. And that is very sad. But the interesting thing, too, I think, and I'm proud of, that the majority of people that vote are women. So there are women that are taking seriously their right to vote, and they're honoring this hard-won fight that they won through the upon the shoulders of other women who came before us.
Well, you're saying that 100 million people don't vote?
According to according to what I was looking at, some of the stats, approximately that many people that have not voted.
Wow!
Now you look at the add up in the last presidential election between the number of popular votes, you get to almost 2 million, and there's over 3 million, a little over 3 million people in the United States. So that's simple.
Well,
right.
you know, it's really, yes, and it's really interesting because I made a comment at the beginning of the show about Taylor Swift and what she's done about getting the vote out for making sure that young people. And also, the thing that really struck me the most about her statement is that she said that young people need to do research. She did her research, and that's how she became to this decision. But she doesn't want to make it for them. She wants them to research. But the most important thing is that they do vote. And then also remind people that if they're the first-time voters, that they have to register to vote. And, oh, my God, I can't believe the slack that came down on the right about this young woman. What is your thought on that?
Well, I am so happy to see her use her voice. I like how she did it. She did not tell them who to vote for. She said who she was voting for, but she told them to do their own research, as she said. And I've learned from I have three children, one of my sons. And he will call me in some time, and we will go through who's running for this, that office, what that office is supposed to do, and then make his own decision. I will give my opinion, but the more by being invested in the process, she's encouraging them to be invested in the process.
Well, also,
when you become invested in the process, that makes a big difference.
I love that analogy. What her statement really said was to invest in the process. That means do your research, talk to your friends, I know when Ken and I, my partner and I vote, we sit down at the kitchen table and we go through all the ads, we go through all the, the publications at the counties and the cities, go through the League of Women Voters, and then we make our choice. And it's such a great feeling. And all we have to do is lick a envelope and drop it off at our voter registration. I mean, they've made it so easy for us. It's just amazing. Well, I really want to thank you for making that comment. And we're going to take a musical break right now, and then I want to get into the whole thing about the Silent Centennial. I mean, I've been doing so much research on that, and it's kind of refreshing my memory. I mean, to be honest with you, how I got educated about the Silent Centennial? I used to love to go to yogurt, to get a yogurt. And next to the yogurt shop, there was this, this record shop, and they had this real big bin of old, VHSs. I mean, if you remember that way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this thing called Iron Jawed Angels with Hilary Swank,
yes.
And it was only a dollar. And I brought it home, plugged it into I said to Ken, we got to watch this. I've never heard of this. And all of a sudden, the whole world opened to me. I had no idea what these women went through until that time. In fact, I tried to show the film at least once every other year to get people together, especially women. And I hear the same thing. Oh, my goodness, I never knew that happened. So I think it's very important. So we're going to take a musical break. And the song I'm going to play is called Hey, Mr. Politician, and it's sung by Ellen Buxdale. And I would like you to really pay attention to the song and comment on it, because I think this really tells the story of where we are today. And folks, we're going to take a musical break. I'm going to be playing Hey, Mr. Politician, sung by Ellen Buxdale. And when we come back, I have the honor of being on the telephone again and talking with Diana Carpenter-Madoshi. And she is just an amazing woman. And for the next segment, we'll be talking about Get Out the Vote and the event that is happening across the nation on October 5th.
Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my love. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind your religion. Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my body. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind self-righteousness. It's my right not to give birth if I choose. It's not your place to turn back the clock to a time when I had no voice. Don't try to take away my right to have freedom of choice. Church and state, your religion should never abuse or take away my freedom to choose. Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my death. You're not walking.
Oh, no politician to tell me how to choose, that's for sure. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm talking with Diana Carpenter-Madoshi, who is one of the founders and lead organizers of a special Silent Centennials action that is happening in Washington, D.C. to get out the vote. A bit of history. The Centennials were a faction within the National Women's Party who picketed the White House for 2.5 years from January 17 to January to 1919 and to visibly advocate for women's suffrage. And to remind our listeners that we only got the vote by one vote. It wasn't unanimous. Everybody wasn't jumping up and down, all these men saying we're going to give them the vote. And just I mentioned before we go into with Diana, I did mention about Taylor Swift, and I want to know that her site already registered 400,000 young people. So it's just amazing. Well, welcome back, Diana. Welcome back. I'm really excited about this interview. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I love that song. I never heard it before, and I have to get a hold of it so that I can play it.
It's Ellen Booksdale.
Pardon me?
I'll send you the link. I'll send you the link and some information on her when we get off the, you know, when I go to my computer today.
Okay, please do. Thank you. Okay.
Well, one of the things about this Silent Centennial, you know, what they were doing when they were protesting was created by Alice Paul, and she had a lot of flack for doing that. So talk a little about Alice Paul and what was her mission, and what do you think made her so strong-willed? Oh, my goodness.
Alice Paul was a Quaker. She spent time in Britain. And the Britons were ones that were called the suffragettes, and they were much more militant than the suffragists in the United States. In fact, they were ready to fight for their right to vote. And when Alice came back from her time in Europe, in Britain, she came back and she got involved, but she and people were going state by state for the right to vote. You know, Carrie Chapman Catt, they were going state by state, thinking that would be the way to get it. But the situation sort of stalled, and they had some defeats on a few of the states that they lost the right. They lost the election in order to get suffrage passed. Like California, they had the first time it went up to the people, and said, let's get it straight, it was only the men that were allowed to vote. It failed. It was only until 1911 that California became the sixth state to give women the right to vote. But that was too slow a process. Alice really believed in getting it done federally. Now, all of these processes worked well hand in hand. These women had different views, but they all wanted the same thing. But Alice was considered the radical. And there were other women that she broke off from the other organization, the National Working Party that she started. That they were the ones that instituted the Silent Sentinels. And they were, contrary to how some people have thought, there were also some black women that participated in that Silent Sentinel. When they stood around the White House. And that was very bold. What the women did is what we can learn from them, they took upon their shoulders to fight for their own political power. They stood up to a government during a time of war. And the temperaments were high. Some call them, the men did not want to hear about it. They were eventually arrested. Even though they were peaceful, they were eventually arrested, jailed, and suffered a lot being in jail.
Well, there's a thing that I'm reading now that they actually had on November 14th, 1917, was known as the Night of Terror.
Oh, yes.
And that's
yes.
when they were in the jails. That's when they were waterboarded. In fact, I found a very interesting poster I'm going to post on Women's Spaces that shows, you know, that women were actually waterboarded.
Waterboard and force-fed. Oof. Alice Paul was force-fed because they went on a hunger strike. And so rather than doing that, they force-fed the women and Alice to the rest of her life afterwards. She had problems with her GI tract because of that atrocious thing. In fact, at one point, they tried to have Alice be interviewed by a psychiatrist to see if they can, you know, have it be decided that she was, you know, insane, off balance or something like that, which was something they did to women in those days before.
It was convenient. It was very convenient. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone had like depression or a little bit of hysteria or postpartum
depression or something like that, they had to be insane. So they go into an insane asylum.
You know, Diane, one of the things that women really have to get clear in their head, because there's pros and cons, but one thing that I believe they have to get clear in their head, that this, we suffered terribly. We had no voice. And when you have no voice, it's like you're, who are you? I mean, people can do anything they want, throw you in an insane asylum. I literally had a cousin who they did shock treatments on. So I mm-hmm. had it in my own family because they, and all it was postpartum. But go ahead, continue. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's okay. That's important things of how women got labeled, because they labeled these women, even from the pulpit, they were vilified. And they were told that they were scourged on the other, you know, they were scourged on society. They were not like these other women, you know. Where's that quote we have? Well-behaved women never make history. There's a lot behind that. But anyway, going back to the suffragists at that time, they became a powerful political voice that was a stand. That they made, and putting their lives in danger, I would say, but the fact that they had the guts to stand up to Congress, stand up to a president, and stand up to a nation saying we want our right to vote.
And it was during World War One. That was another thing, that the war broke out, that so they were saying they were not patriotic. Like today, you're not patriotic all of a sudden.
Well, they were saying it was an embarrassment for what they were saying to Wilson, President Wilson at the time. You're fighting for democracy across the overseas, and here in the United States, the women they're not able to participate fully in democracy.
So it was an embarrassment to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it should be an embarrassment to all men right now that even agree with that we're taking our right to choose away. I mean, it's just amazing. Well, thank you for that. You know, Alice Paul has really been a real hero to me, especially when I found out, you know, it's interesting because here in Sonoma County, as you know, you've been on the board of the Women's National History Alliance, once called mm-hmm. the History Project. And, you know, Molly and I went to school together at Sonoma State, and I remember we were walking to class, and she said, oh, you know, J.J. Wilson's going to be and Karen Anderson are going to be writing this book, you know, about women in art. And I looked at her, and I said, oh, are there women artists? And I was like, I'll never forget that day. And then all of a sudden, the whole History Project and what they went through to actually get history in the books. And it's amazing. And I'm starting to think, when you look at women's history and you see whose shoulders you're standing on, it gives you strength. It gives you incentive to move forward. And I think a lot of it has to do with what's doing today, that all of a sudden there's a little idea these women have gotten a little bit too much power. You know, we better shake them down a little bit. And I think go ahead.
I was going to interject what you said, going back about women in the media. When we tell the stories, and when I have spoke to different groups and brought up women, specifically women in their own community, not their own community or in their own ethnic grouping, let them know about what these women have done and how much they contribute to making women a powerful movement. We have not. I guess that for modern women, recent times, the Women's March in 2017 woke up a lot of the young people to recognize that, hey, we're women, we do have power. And I find that ironic because over and over and over we keep having to message, and we must never forget to keep giving that message that we're the recipients of these powerful women that stood up for the right. And we are powerful ourselves if we accept the assignment that we can go forth and be advocate for ourselves and other women.
Very important. Very important, because many of us would not be where we are if it were not for these women. I mean, we are standing on the shoulder, like you talked about Fannie Lou Hamer. You know, you talk about Alice Paul. You talk about all these different women that put their lives on the line. It's just amazing. It's an amazing story. And I'll tell you something. I'm happy to be a woman. Anyway, you know, my understanding is, you know, this is women's spaces. You know, it's a space for women to hear other women. You know, the idea behind the show is to let women know what women are doing. It, you know, when you find one, you get more. I get more confidence when I listen to some of the things that women have done in the past. That helps me to move forward. I say, hey, if they can do it, so can I. Well, my understanding is that you are asking folks to replicate, to join a coalition of women and men also, who on October 5th will hold a purple nonpartisan sign that simply say vote, to remind everyone to embrace the precious right to have a voice in our democratic society. How did the silent senator vote visibility action come about, and what makes this action in these times so important, Diana?
It came about in 2020. We were concerned. 2020 was the election. 2020 was also COVID, you know, and we wanted to do something to highlight the importance of voting. There was so much riding on us to continue to stand up and encourage people to vote. the more people that are involved in our political process to vote, and the more, the better it is for women. The more women get out and vote, and men get out to vote, the more we do better as a society and continue to fight for our rights. This election coming up, and all, we should take this election very serious. We should take all elections seriously. Our rights are on the line. That's why what we're doing October the 5th, the Silent Sentinel, coming together, holding up a sign that's simply encouraging people to vote. It's voters' visibility. The more people see, the more we can inspire people to become involved. This is not a time to sit on the sidelines. Someone said democracy is not a spectator sport. And I find that so true. And I want to put a plug in for us that people, we have a video that they can view on YouTube. Go to Silent Sentinel, October 5th, put that in the search bar, and that'll bring up our video that you can see how we did it and hopefully get some inspiration how you can do it in your own neighborhood. You can check out, you can contact us, email us at silentsentinel, all one word, .oct5@gmail.com. And for further information, if you really want to be motivated, inspired, and encourage others, check out the website of the National Women's History Alliance and also the website of the National Collaborative for Women's History site. It is important to know our history. It's ever-evolving. It's ever-evolving. And when we know where we've been, we can also guide where we want to go.
Can you repeat that? Can you repeat that?
When we know where we have been, it can guide us to where we want to go.
Well, let me ask you a question about the centennial. What this is going to be your third one, right?
Yes. Yes.
What are some of the challenges? I mean, how do people respond to this? You know, all of a sudden I realize on October 5th, you're not going to believe this, my granddaughter's getting married. So that's why I'm going, I feel so bad not being able to participate that I decided to do the second interview. And then I'm going to also run the interview again to remind people that it's happening because we're going to be gone. But what are some of the challenges and what is some of the excitement around it?
The challenges is the networking and getting people to know that this is something they can do. But we've kept a list of some of the people that did participate. Like there was a group in Kentucky that participated in 2022 when we did it. And we sent an email out. They said, we still have our signs and we're going to participate again. And so is a group in Baltimore, Maryland. And so that is that fuels us. The challenge is getting the word out, connecting, and to let people know that, hey, this is something you can do. If you have a walker, you can hold the sign up and get a few people together with you and stand on that corner and just hold the sign up and say vote. You can be near a college campus. You can be near a farmer's market. The idea is to encourage people in the community to vote because this is very serious. A lot is riding on this election, our very rights. And so those are the challenges. And fortunately, people like yourself, Elaine, that I'm able to do this interview with, people that are sending it when you view the video, send the video around to other people and say, start this in your community. It's simple. You can do it. And the people that have participated in previous times, the women and the men have said they had fun doing it. They got to know their community, and they had fun doing something that they felt that was important.
because the power of the vote is key to us maintaining our democracy, our republic.
Well,
utilizing the vote.
I go back to what you said at the beginning of our interview with Fannie Lou Hamer said, if one person is not free, nobody is free. And that's so important to understand. Well, we've come to the end of their segment. I mean, this has just been absolutely wonderful, Diane. I appreciate so much what you're doing, the effort that you're making. And so any last words, anything that you'd like to communicate to our listeners? And I really appreciate you coming on again. And like I said, we're going to run the show. We're going to run it again at the end of the month. So to remind people that this is happening. So any last words, and give us your website again. And to listen, to remind my listeners that everything that you're telling us is going to be on www.womenspaces.com. So it's your air. Last words, anything you'd like to say. And then also if you could give us the information again.
I would like to say we must give our all to vote and encourage others to vote. Our rights are on the ballot, and to continue to take this election serious because our rights are on the line. You can email us at silentsentinels@gmail.com. You have a voice. You can make a difference. We all are in this together. And you can also find us on Facebook. And again, share the video with others.
The video is excellent.
And to continue to, and I would say the other thing is that keep the thing that struck out about these women, they did not give up. They did not give up, and we must not give up. We owe it to ourselves and those that come behind us. Our bodies, our rights are on the line, and as that, and we must stand up and vote accordingly. Thank you.
Diana Carpenter Moshi, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being such a wonderful guest and for doing such a wonderful, wonderful event to have people be reminded whose shoulders we are standing on and the importance of it. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you so much.
Wow, what an interview. I've got the chills. I don't know. We've got a few seconds. Do we have a time? Do we have a moment before we say goodbye to play Peace, Please Peace by Linda Farrell, Ken? Yeah, let's go ahead and put that on, because this is what's inspiring me today to have this interview. I want to listen to this song sung by Linda Farrell. It's called Please Peace, and then we'll come back to say goodbye.
What were you thinking? What did you think we'd do? Stay small, stay silent, I think more like you. Go ahead and try to sleep tonight, we will stay awake. We will keep watching for our children's sake. And the lullaby we'll sing is, please, please, please. If you wake and listen, you will hear a mighty cry. And we'll keep on singing, keep on, till the day we die. You will hear a mighty cry. You will hear it. You will hear a mighty cry. You will hear it. You will hear a mighty cry. You will hear.
Yes, you will hear a mighty cry, and that mighty cry says, vote. Pay attention to the ballot. Pay attention. Think about, talk to your friends. Go onto the League of Women Voters website. They have lots and lots of information. Well, folks, that's it for our show. A special thank you to Diana Carpenter-Madoshi. Wonderful, wonderful interview. Thank you, thank you. You know, one of the things about Diana, she actually worked with Shirley Chisholm. We didn't get into that. We got into it the last time. A reminder, everything that we've said, all the websites and everything will be on www.womenspaces.com. And a reminder, Women's Spaces will be on tonight again at 11 o'clock, and I really, really hope you tune in, and I want to thank everybody, all my listeners, and as I do at the end of every show, I remind people, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I want to thank you all out there for registering to vote and for going to the polls and voting. This is a very, very important election, election that in our lifetime I never thought we would see. Anyway, goodbye for now, and I look forward to being with you the next time. Everything you do because of
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 16th, 2024.